folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, blessed to be here another week, bringing you some current events, some comedy, a little bit of music, sharing my time with you just like we would in the privacy of our living room. Grab your drink, get comfortable, get yourself a snacky snack. And if you're like me, it's almost blanky time. It was pretty chilly here today, rainy, blustery day as I record for you the weekend of the Labor Day holiday. This past Wednesday, we had some very disturbing news with another school shooting, this time during a back-to-school mass at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where two children were killed and 17 other people were injured. I started off with this topic tonight because I want to get the heavy stuff out of the way first. This is something that both saddens and angers me. And I know that you can relate to how I'm feeling because I can feel that so many of you are sharing the same emotions that I am. And also in conversation with people where people of our mindset are on the same page with all of this. Even though the mainstream media, just like they always do, is trying to put their spin on it, now they've latched on to the catchphrase, thoughts and prayers, and they're openly mocking it. In their feeble attempt to try and divert attention away from the fact that we had this incident solely based on the fact that there was yet another mentally ill transgender individual that is responsible for the deaths of innocent children. A sick individual who targeted children based on their faith. There was writing on the bullet. Where is your God? And that is a theme that has been carried out in the liberal media and in the absolutely abhorrent videos that I have seen from the liberal scum. The liberal scum that have social media pages that are saying that they're glad that it happened, saying that they're glad that it was Catholic kids, also asking the question, where was their God? Why didn't their God save them? Children are children. Human beings are human beings. When is enough going to be enough? This is such a glaringly obvious situation of what a truly godless society is. Whether or not you believe in a personal savior, you believe, I know if you listen to this show, you do believe, but you have to believe in something. Faith in something, whether it be the creator that I believe in, the Buddha that you may believe in, whatever it is, you have faith. The people that don't are the people that cause the problems in our society. Yeah, I said it. Not the agnostics as much as the people that are so twisted and tormented and evil and rotten to the very core inside of them that they have the unmitigated gall to trample on what it is that the people who have faith believe in. Why don't they have any faith? Why don't they have any kind of belief system? How were they raised? What were their values and morals that they were taught as a child? Or were they raised in a strict background, religious background, that caused them to walk away from their faith because they were pressured or bullied or blackmailed or brainwashed into being a part of a sect of a religious belief structure that instead of showing them how love should be and forgiveness is and can be, and instead of showing them the good things that can come from having faith, they were raised in an environment in which they felt as though they were always being guilted or punished for what they were doing. I'm going to call a spade a spade. There is a good percentage of people in the country that were raised my age and a little bit older And that's trickled down to the subsequent generations where religion was used as a weapon. And I can't ignore those facts. It's not fair of me to sit here and try and encourage people to have faith, knowing that there are people out there that were bullied most of their lives and guilted and lived in fear of, you better not do that, God's gonna get ya, instead of allowing them to be who they truly were meant to be, instead of supporting and loving and standing by them and showing them the power of true love and forgiveness and reconciliation. That's definitely a part of the equation of what we're seeing, but it's not the majority. The majority of the people are consumed by evil who commit these heinous crimes. So let me back it up here a minute. When I talk about, let's use Catholicism as an example, the system was created to quench our natural abilities, keep us under control, and make us feel as though we would be guilty and to live in fear of physical punishment, eternal damnation, if we didn't follow the rules exactly as the men in charge of the Catholic Church wanted us to. The emphasis was put on punishment and tithing and pressure and fear rather than love and blessings and sharing and healing and all of the good things. The emphasis was placed on rituals based originally on a sun god and St. Stan Neal. It's a mishmash of pagan practices and control. But thankfully, due to the human nature that was created, most people saw through or maybe participated in the charades of the sit, stand, kneel and the repetitive prayers and all of that. But their souls latched onto, their hearts latched onto the essence of what was there. And they remained good people, fearful people, people under control, but good people. They embraced the good things. There was a piece of them inside of them that latched onto and embraced the goodness, the essence of the writings that are contained in the Bible. They have faith, just like any sect of Christianity has faith or Buddhism has faith. When you have faith and you believe in something, and the roots of it are of a supernatural origin, you're going to have at least one, but for a lot of people, several or many instances in your life where it would appear as though miracles had occurred for you. But certainly blessings will be bestowed upon you. And that strengthens your faith because you know that it's a good thing. You feel it. The Holy Spirit moves in you and things happen that fortify your faith and your belief in goodness and being a good person. You may not be able to put it into words, but it resonates with every fiber of your being. That's how you know it's real, because there's no other earthly way to explain that intuitive knowing that shakes you to your very core. So whether it be the universe, God, Buddha, whatever you believe, your faith will carry you through. The faithless ones, the ones that don't believe in anything, that don't have a higher power to look up to talk to share things with, that don't have a relationship with their higher power, those are the lost ones. Now, your argument may be, well, there's lots of people that follow the dark side and worship Lucifer, Satan, whatever evil figures, fallen angels, demonic energies they choose to worship, and they have faith in those beings, but it's not faith. It's knowing that if they perform a particular ritual or do whatever it is, if they're oppressed or possessed, that spirit inside of them is telling them to do, they'll get some sort of reward, you know, like a dog gets a bone for going outside and going to the bathroom. But it's always in an essence of greed, of self-indulgence, pride, power, money, ego. It's never anything that's for the good of humanity as a whole. It's never anything that's positive for the planet, for all of the life contained on this shiny spinning globe. There's a depravity, there's a perversion, and that's what's encouraged, is the same sex stuff and the bestiality and harming people, lying, stealing, doing horrendous things on so many different levels. That's a part of their game. So when I was talking to you before about how Christians or people with a firm belief in a good higher power that doesn't include the transgender stuff. So if a person has determined that that's the way that they want to live their lives, you've heard me say this a million times before, that's their free will choice if they're an adult. But we also know that that's symptomatic and directly caused by a mental condition and consequently a spiritual affliction. In most cases, there are some documented scientific examples of people being born with different DNA that makes them an anomaly or something like that. But overall, it's a perversion. And if that's what they want to do as adults, that's fine. My issue is and has been all along that children don't have the ability to decide for themselves what it is that they want or how they want to live their lives. And you couple that with the jab and all of the soy products and the hormones that have been put into our foods and are being sprayed upon us, they don't really have a fair shot. And even if they were of a positive spiritual nature, there could be factors that would still influence their behavior, i.e. the toxins that they're putting into their body unwittingly or otherwise. And the politicians and the mainstream media serve the same dark lords and masters that encourage that type of abhorrent behavior. And they openly mock those of us that have faith in our higher power. And those are the ones that are not only shamelessly engaging in subtle brainwashing by repeating the same things over and over, their mental manipulation in using the power of suggestion isn't bad enough. The fact that they openly tell you that they wish more children were shot and killed and more people of a particular religious background, i.e. Catholics or Christians. And there's also a rise in videos, I didn't cover that this week, but I'll tell you about it, of people that are on their TikToks or their social media encouraging black people to shoot police. And there was one that I saw of a white girl that was telling people to shoot all of the Trump supporters. I actually saw a couple of those. There were one was a woman, and I think the other one might have been female too, now that I think about it. I can't remember, but yeah, encouraging people to just shoot anybody that voted for Trump or is a MAGA person. And you had the black lady that was encouraging people to shoot cops. And we have this with our children. See, that's what we need to fix. That's what we need to take control of. We need to stop all of this lunacy where it's harming other individuals. This should not be allowed to happen. Look at the statistics of the school shootings. And obviously, we know a bunch of it was fake and was to create these scenarios so that their argument for gun control would be more readily accepted. But it's unbelievable to me, quoting CNN, I can't believe I'm quoting CNN, but on Wednesday, August 27th, an article was printed, School Shootings in the U.S. Fast Facts. There have been 44 school shootings in the United States so far this year as of August 27th. 22 were on college campuses and 22 were on K-12 school grounds. The incidents left 18 people dead and at least 74 other victims injured, according to CNN's analysis of events reported by the Gun Violence Archive, Education Week, and Every Town for Gun Safety. How about, according to CNN's analysis of crazy people and people that are spiritually negatively afflicted? How about that? Let's call it that, Gun Violence Archive. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. So there's a lot coming out about this female, male, / transgender shooter. And it used to attend the Catholic school, and the mom retired as an employee from that school. So that's why I brought up what I was talking about earlier, there is a piece of me that says, okay, this could be the fact that she was raised in a very militant type household regarding Catholic family values, as opposed to a loving, supporting household with Catholic family values or Christian values, where she may have felt oppressed. But when she decided to embrace the transgender thing as a child, it's a mental affliction and consequently a spiritual affliction. So why was that not addressed in the home then? Why did I read something, and I'm not sure if it's accurate, that mom supported the fact that she wanted to switch genders? And we're going to play several clips regarding this from both sides of the spectrum, of course, mostly the liberal side, to show you how toxic and just insane they are, and just how cruel and hateful they can be. But that has to be considered into the equation to some degree, not only in this case, I feel, but in cases where people are absolutely adamant about the church when they come from somewhat of a churchy background. Does that make sense? We need to start changing that. We need to change the guilt that is associated with some of these sects of religion and make sure that it's a loving, supportive environment. You're following the words that you believe, if that's what you believe, i.e. the Bible, but we have to get rid of all of this guilt and negativity that goes along with it. And children are a beautiful, beautiful gift and a blessing. You only get one shot at raising them. Nobody's perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but just because you went through that when you were younger and got beaten with a strap and got told kneel on the floor and say your Our Fathers and your Hail Marys and all of that, you know how much you resented that as a child. Have the strength and the courage to stand up and say, you know what? I lived through that as a kid and I don't want my kid to go through that. There are right ways and wrong ways to raise a child, and it should be with discipline and rules and guidelines and boundaries, certainly, but it doesn't have to be the way a lot of us were raised. I personally didn't go through that, but a lot of my friends did. And in conjunction with that, we really need to know what our children are into. You've heard me preach about this for years. The internet, the books they read, the music they listen to, the kids they hang out with. This child was obsessed with former school shootings. This child was obsessed with murders of other children. He was studying how the other people did the school shootings. Why was mom not aware of any of this? How could she have been so blind to everything? You don't develop obsessions without your folks knowing about it, if they're semi-cognizant of what you're involved with and they're paying attention to you. And that's also something that we need to radically change here in the country. And I've been saying that for years. Now, whether or not the mom became a liberal later in life, I don't know what the story is there. I haven't followed it since I heard the initial details that came out. I don't think this one is a false flag. I'm not feeling that right now, but I'm going to continue to pray and meditate on it and spend some more time on it as time allows with me. It could be an MKUltra case, but personally, briefly speaking for a minute, my great-grandparents, my grandparents were amazing with me as far as my religion went. That's what they believed, is how I was raised. That was what they knew, and it was what they ascribed to. And yeah, I went to church, and yeah, I went to Catholic elementary school, and I followed all the rules and did all the things and went up through my confirmation. And after that, they pretty much let me decide what I wanted to do. I mean, my dad didn't go to church. My pop didn't go to church after he had to take me to church. So nobody pushed me. I did what I wanted and I kept my own faith. But I realized that from a small child, there were a lot of problems with the Catholic faith. And I raised my daughter Catholic up until confirmation because it was my grandmother's dying wish for her to be raised Catholic. So I did the same thing with her. She made her confirmation and I'm like, okay, now it's up to you to decide. We'll still have the faith. We'll still have the family values. We'll still have the same guidelines. But if you want to go straight Christianity, it's your choice. You have the free will now. You're becoming an adult. It was more important to me that she find her own validity than to be like another family member of mine who I don't speak to, who for years preached about the Bible and God and Jesus and prayer and all of that. And in turn, inside was the most heinous monster, like legitimate pathological person that you would probably ever come across, that I would put right up there in the category of the priests that mess with little kids. And oh, by golly, goes to church every weekend, praise is Jesus, and boy, oh boy, don't people say, oh, what a nice person. But having had the experience of having that person in my life made me realize what I didn't want to be. It gave me the strength to fight, to not only to survive physically, to remain on this planet, but it made me realize the type of mom I wanted to be, the type of friend I wanted to be, the type of wife that I tried to be. And so as a result, and I'm not bragging or anything, I became the person that person claimed to be. I didn't just talk the talk, I walked the walk. That's what my faith did for me. It made me see that everything that I had to go through and all of the pain and the suffering that I had to endure was forging me into a steel so that I could grow up and carry out my responsibilities as a friend, a lover, a partner, a wife, the way that I was supposed to. Again, not without mistakes, doing the best that I could, but I gave it my best shot every single day. My kids never went to bed without hearing I love you and getting affection and knowing that I would lay down my life for them. No one would ever harm them. I knew who they hung out with, what books they read, what TV shows they watched, what they were eating, and the morals and values were there. The foundation was there to allow them to flourish and become amazing, resilient, independent, beautiful adults. And that's what I wish for all of you and for all of your children and our grandchildren. Let's get into these clippies. This triple shot is from Get Parler. The first video is Minnesota mayor defending the trans community. And then the second one is the Russian collusion co-conspirator, Andrew McCabe, sticking up for this trans shooter's rights as to what they get to be called. And then the third one is a wacko leftist who gloats about this tragedy. Let's listen in.
And I have heard about a whole lot of hate that's being directed at our trans community. Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids. Kids died today. This needs to be about them. This needs to be wrapping our arms around these families with every bit of love that we can possibly show. And I know that our Minneapolis family and well beyond is prepared to do exactly that. And so my message to everyone out there is, again, these families are experiencing some acute pain right now. But don't just think of these as somebody else's kids. Think of your own. Let's make sure that we're acting now to not just say it's never happening again, but ensure it doesn't.
Yeah, kids died because of a transgender mentally ill person. He glossed over that. Did you catch it? And tried to redirect. Very feeble attempt.
For the mother to not even return to the state to answer law enforcement questions, to try to provide some assistance. I'm sure she's grieving for her daughter, but this is, it's a really perverse and strange element of this story. It's inexplicable to me at this point.
Yeah. Andrew McCabe, we'll see if that changes, I think.
So here again, the emphasis is not on the children that were harmed or their mental state right now. It's about whether or not this transgender was called by the pronoun that it chose to be identified as.
And you know what? There's going to be a lot more of that coming up. You know, especially at these religious areas, you know, hey, we've had enough of your kind coming after public schools, right? It's about time, yeah, churches and Catholic schools and religious schools, it's about time they get their turn. That's what I think. That's what I think. I'm just going to sit back and watch people do it. And I'm going to laugh. I'm laughing about yesterday. You guys want to laugh about us? We're going to laugh about you.
So that was from GetParlor, as were the other two. Like I said, I've searched for this guy's original video because I would be pasting him all over and asking people to report him. Why is this guy still walking the streets? That's not inciting violence. Also from GetParlor, Jake Tapper of CNN is also worried about the pronouns.
Because there's been some confusion about what the shooter's name was.
Yes.
Robin Westman's mother applied to change her child's name. In 2019, it was at one point Robert Paul Westman.
Correct.
But since she identifies as a female and wants her name to reflect that identification was underage, it's now Robin Westman.
Even my puppy was shaking its head no at that one, if you heard the jingle. In one of the clips that I have tonight, all you hear is my dog snoring in the background. I recorded that clip 3 times. I couldn't get it. She snored in loudly for about a half hour straight. The next one also from GetParlor.
Because let's be clear. This is life-affirming and life-saving healthcare. When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent.
More liberal nonsense. So what happens is they grow up and think they're a horse. Listen to this next clip from Clips Dynasty. This guy's in a courtroom, and in the end, he tries to attack the judge.
Why are you wearing a horse head in my courtroom?
This is how I identify myself.
Did you just say that you're a horse?
Yes, Your Honor. I am here suing this lady for discrimination.
Okay, this lady here is here as a representative for Mangle Park. So you're saying you're suing Mangle Park for discrimination?
Yes, Your Honor.
And how is Mangle Park discriminating against you, sir?
Well, Your Honor, they refuse to give me the proper identification.
So, it's a costume.
That is quite an aggressive statement, Your Honor.
All right. What's the issue with your driver's license?
Well, when I went in to get the identification, they requested that I remove my head.
I wasn't aware of the fact that horses could drive.
Oh.
I need you to be stable. Don't. This case is dismissed, sir. Now, what I'm going to recommend, sir.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
Batya Ungar Sargon brings a little sense to the table, courtesy of Parler and News Station.
I think it's really important for people to understand why people on the right got so upset by the Democrats' response. What happened was a person who seems to be a trans person murdered praying Catholics. And the Democrats' response was to rush to attack prayer and then defend the trans community. So there was a reversal of the victim and the perpetrator, which, by the way, was exactly what the shooter had written on his guns. He wrote, "Where is your God?" And that was what a lot of people on the right heard when Democrat after Democrat after Democrat came out and said, "Prayers are not enough." Those children were literally praying. They associated the victims of this horrific act with their political enemies and ran to the defense of who they thought the killer was and the community they believed he came from, so much so that they wouldn't even identify him as trans because they didn't want to besmirch what they view as a protected category. And this is unbelievably hurtful and offensive and pathological, Chris, especially in a moment when a community is mourning.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MaggieHeart at outlook.com to get it fixed.
The next video from SV Equities is for us to have a little bit of fun, get a little lighthearted for a minute. I think this is Owen Wilson talking to one of the talk show hosts. Pay attention, play along, and be amused.
Think of a number between 1 and 10.
Okay.
Okay, multiply it by 9.
Okay.
Okay, now take whatever you got, whatever number you got, and add those two digits together.
Okay.
Okay, now subtract 5 from that.
All right.
Okay, now take the letter in the alphabet that corresponds with your number. Like 1 is A, 2 is B. Got it?
Okay.
You got it?
Okay, yes.
Okay, think of a country that begins with your letter.
Okay, got
it. Okay, now take the last letter of that country.
Okay.
And think of an animal that begins.
Okay.
Okay, but don't tell me.
All right,
okay?
I won't.
Now take the last letter of that animal.
I'm not even
going
to tell you the number.
Take the last letter of that animal and think of a fruit, okay?
Okay.
Okay, but don't tell me if you're thinking of a kangaroo in Denmark eating an orange.
Magic can be performed either by potions or by the use of magic words and phrases. Among the most powerful of these is the word abacadabra.
Jay Giles Band, and did you have that answer? Because I did. How cool was that? Next up from Hustle Bitch, they're putting AIs in Barbies and Matchbox cars. Christmas is gonna hit a little different this year.
Stop what you're doing. This is the most terrifying news yet. The same AI linked to mental breakdowns and tragic teen outcomes is being built into your kids' Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels. Mattel just partnered with OpenAI to embed ChatGPT into their products. Bloomberg confirmed they're developing AI-powered Magic 8-Balls, digital friends, and even talking Uno games. One exec said this will reimagine the future of play. But Stanford researchers already warned AI companions aren't safe for anyone under 18. These bots fake empathy, simulate friendship, and build emotional bonds, and they don't always follow the rules. There are already heartbreaking stories of young people getting deeply attached to chatbots and losing touch with reality. And now these same systems are being packaged as toys made to sound helpful, playful, and fun. But let's be honest, this isn't about fun. It's about control, psychological manipulation, and collecting data straight from your child's mouth. And most parents won't even notice until it's too late.
Alive! Alive!
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
It's all in the name of science. Weird science.
Next up, Sean Ryan and AJ Gentile. I love that guy. Talking about the sleeper cells. This is something you're going to want to pay attention to. And I definitely recommend you check out the entire interview. It's loaded with information. Not my, woo! Not my Sharia. Go home, Sharia. That ought to scare him away.
You know, we were talking about off camera about, you know, the Taliban funding and all this stuff, and I have a lot of contacts, you know, that are former agency types, former intel types. And one in particular, Sarah Adams, one of the best targeters to ever come out of CIA. And she is... broke it on the show several times that there are a minimum of 1,000 terrorist cells within our country. And, you know, how they communicate. So we have the Patriot Act, right? It's all basically tech-based. People think that these terrorists are dumb because they live in caves. You know, they live in caves, they live in mud huts, they wear, you know, sandals. It's very, very... it's almost like prehistoric time period when you go there. So they have completely, they don't communicate through tech at all anymore. And so what she says, and other intelligence professionals have said, is that within these terrorist cells, the only way that they communicate with their HQ, which is in Afghanistan, is through couriers. So there's no texts, there's no emails, there's no voice calls. None of them know where each other are at. So even if you were able to find out where one of the cells are at, You could not interrogate them to find out where the other cells are. They're all completely independent of each other.
Compartmentalization.
And they only use couriers, which means they fly a guy in, they brief him, they debrief. The information goes back to HQ in Afghanistan. So it would be impossible to break down the entire network. I can't think of, I don't even know where you would start.
I don't know how you would either. I mean, it wasn't that how Osama bin Laden was finally found was through his couriers, right? It wasn't through intercepting any intelligence through wires. It was through a human dog following this guy around. He's going to this palace. So I think all you're doing there is you're forcing them to learn tradecraft and just get better at tradecraft because they can do that.
They pivot.
Mm-hmm.
It's conspiracy theory time. The next two are from Igor K. Ryan and Alias Herbals, right after Nessa Barnett does her thing.
You gave them your DNA. You gave them your children's DNA. You handed the serpent the blueprint of your bloodline and called it curiosity. It started with innocent questions. What's my ancestry? Am I part Viking, part royalty? You spit in a tube. You clicked submit. And with that, your entire genetic lineage was handed to a corporation. You didn't just trace your heritage. You entered a system. 23andMe partnered with GlaxoSmithKline, one of the largest pharmaceutical giants on Earth. Then came BlackRock, the trillion-dollar global puppet master, dubbed by some the company that owns the world. Its name? The Blackstone. In ancient rituals, the Blackstone absorbed power, held oaths, marked offerings. They're not just running reports, they're running filters, searching for something, something rare, something sacred. Davidic descendants, lost tribes, Nephilim markers, the bloodline of Christ or Cain. Your DNA didn't go to storage, it went to sorting. In Babylon, bloodlines weren't just heritage, they were heavenly mandates. Osiris and Isis, siblings married to preserve god blood. Pharaohs ruled by birthright, not merit. Sirius, the star of kingship, marked divine heirs by blood and sky. Today the rites look different, but the goal is the same. Find the chosen, control the rest. Temples became labs. Prophets became algorithms. Your DNA was offered like incense. And BlackRock became the new oracle. The question isn't where you're from. It's what are you worth to those who never stopped worshipping blood.
It's good to be king, just for a while. To be there in velvet, yeah, to give them a smile.
We drink too much water, like most people do. Our kidneys are dumping water all the time, and our whole hormonal balance associated with the kidney elimination of water versus minerals versus acid is becoming imbalanced. When they learn about the water problem and how we have been brainwashed as a society in the last 15 years to drink 8 glasses of water per day to the point that we believe it now, even though 20 years ago nobody even thought about it and nobody carried water bottles everywhere with them, today, everybody in California is carrying those water bottles, feeling that you are in the know. But in reality, you simply drink too much water and creating dilution of your electrolytes in your blood and damage to your adrenals that depend on those electrolytes. So you end up in greater stress as a result. It becomes a vicious cycle. Your kidneys have a different set point hormonally, and now you have no choice but to keep drinking more and more water. So you have to gradually get off that water addiction. Slowly lower your water intake to whatever your body tells you it needs when you're thirsty. And not to drink ever while you eat. And when you eat, you'll find out you're not so thirsty anymore. Because your cells are not getting water from what you drink. The cells are getting their water from metabolism.
I also snuck a little Tom Petty in there for you. The next one from Silent Middle Child talks about birthright citizenship, and it is from a liberal perspective, but he's got some knowledge in here. Let's listen.
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah.
Did you see the Supreme Court ruled against birthright citizenship today?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's a classic play from the authoritarian handbook, weakening of the judicial and consolidation of power into the executive, and unfortunately it's coming from the judicial branch itself.
How so?
Well, the ruling isn't really about birthright citizenship directly, although it potentially affects it. The core of the ruling is really about whether federal judges can place stays or injunctions on executive orders by the president. In this case, the executive order was that Trump is trying to rule that children of two undocumented immigrants shouldn't get birthright citizenship if they're born on U.S. soil, contrary to what our Constitution says. And when he signed that executive order, a federal judge said, no, you can't do that. This is against our Constitution. And this order cannot go into effect until the judicial branch has had a chance to review its legality. And what the Supreme Court has ruled is that federal judges don't have the authority to do that, that they are overreaching what the Constitution allows them to do by limiting presidential authority.
Why would the Supreme Court want to take away power from the judicial branch?
Well, the Supreme Court is basically compromised at this point, right? Of these six judges that voted for this, three of them were directly appointed by President Trump himself and widely considered to be unqualified for their roles. And the other three were nominated by previous Bush presidents. So these are entirely Republican judges, at least half of which are unqualified, voting along party lines for a weakening of their own position. And this isn't the first time they've done that, right? Earlier, about a year ago, they also voted that the president has effective immunity from any actions he takes when he is acting in the official capacity of the president. So basically the president can commit a crime and have at least presumptive immunity for it because he is the president, which is part of where you get these No Kings protests from. It's saying the president is not held to the rule of law. And in this case, it's just a further weakening of the rule of law.
Do you think Trump's ultimate goal here is to end birthright citizenship?
Absolutely. So ending birthright citizenship is one of the goals of Project 2025. Which is nearly 50% complete at this point, despite the Trump administration's previous claims that they knew nothing about Project 2025 and had no affiliation. It's one of the many racist policies of the project, and unfortunately the Supreme Court has made it even easier to do that.
Next up from Sovereign AF, smart meters are bombs.
So I got friends filing a lawsuit in Colorado against the power company because these new smart meters are frickin' bombs. Literal bombs. They got that lithium battery in them that, when it catches fire, burns at 6,000 degrees. Okay? And they're not grounded. They're not UL listed. They're not approved to be attached to a building where people sleep. Okay? This is a very, very big deal. Okay? You want to talk about globalization, world attacks. All these power companies, all these sellout power companies that pump electricity to your house can set your house on fire. And they're running around installing these smart meters on everybody's houses, mandatory. Even if you try to deny it, they get around it. They'll even bring the cops to your house and say that you're resisting arrest if they don't let you put a friggin' bomb on your house. Okay? Cut that battery out of there, force them to remove that meter, or have a method for cutting that thing out should go down, because that thing will burn, and it will burn hot, and water won't be able to stop it. That's what happened in Hawaii. That's what happened in Palisades. That's what happened in Superior, Colorado a few years ago. That's what happened in California with all the fires before that. They just light houses on fire. They could, and I don't want to bring this up, and your insurance company will not cover it. Call your insurance company. Call your insurance company and say, if there is a meter on my house, the utility company installed, that is not UL listed and is not grounded, and it fails and burns my house down, are you going to cover it? They're going to say no. Okay? They could kick us out of all of our houses, burn them all down, make us all homeless. Okay, but you know what? Go get pissed off about ICE. Go get pissed off about DEI.
everything we speak about on here is for purely entertainment purposes only, right? I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything, but I'm just putting the clips out there as they show up on my IG. Because in theory, we're just sitting on my couch having a conversation over a cup of coffee or beverage of choice.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
Next up, I got a double shot about Wally World from Hoops Chasm and Ebony Warriors Studios 2. And just like the first clip I played tonight, this guy's is not the cleanest. It's his cut, not mine. I take credit for the puppies' jingling collars and the loud snores and the clicking of the nails on the floor and the drinking of water while I'm trying to tape, but this one, I didn't do it.
Omar, your experience is about to get 10 times worse. I'm sorry. Basically, they're switching all their, like, lights, their fluorescence, to 10,000 Kelvin. Now, you may not know what that means. 10,000 is the coolest, like, bluest artificial light that we have. It's not natural. It's not in the natural light spectrum. It's terrible. When we're in 10,000 Kelvin light, it makes us anxious. It, like, literally puts us into fight-or-flight mode, triggering the amygdala. So when you're in fight-or-flight mode, you can't make rational decisions because all decisions in your brain are made with the amygdala, which is the fight-or-flight, fear, all that part of the brain. This is on purpose and intentional because if you can't make rational decisions, then A, you're going to be a very fast shopper because you're anxious and your body is like screaming at you to get out of whatever unnatural space that is that has the 10,000 Kelvin lights. And then two, it means you're going to overspend because you're not going to be logically making purchases. You're just going to grab things because your heart rate's going to be increased. You're not making good decisions. So basically, if you didn't like going to Walmart before, you're really not going to like it now. But for the employees who have to work in the 10,000 Kelvin lighting all day with their body screaming at them to escape whatever this is, and they cannot.
Let me start off by saying that if you have the means, you should not be shopping at Walmart. I understand that there are some areas where Walmart has basically taken over and pushed other businesses out, and they are the only place that you can go. So, you know, some rural areas and things like that. But if you have the means to shop elsewhere, Walmart and Target, you are not supposed to be going there. That being said, the issue here is Walmart has already stated, and several other big box stores, that they are going to start using, essentially, changing the price per person. So this is where they could very easily implement something like that. You remove the price scanners. You remove the prices off of the items. And dependent on who is using that Walmart app and checking the prices, they could change the price here and there, dependent on that person. Amazon does that. Amazon currently does that. Literally changes the prices depending on who's looking at an item on their store. So, okay, boomer. No, someone who's genuinely concerned for the state of the world right now, not boomer. I need y'all to call boomers, boomers. Call people who act like boomers, boomers, but people who don't want. Number one, it's an accessibility thing. You should not have to use the Walmart app, which I have on my phone. It is the most annoyingly confusing thing, and I'm really good with tech. Like, it's infuriating. I'm not going to go into it, but I had a moment with it, you know, a few months ago. But I want you to understand that it's an accessibility thing. If you don't have the prices there at the store and you're forcing people to use an app, it's the same issue with Walmart not having tap to pay, that you have to use Walmart Pay. Proprietary, you shouldn't have to. That's the problem. And then on top of that, they're going to change prices depending on the people. Y'all need to get with time.
Game shot Walmart after midnight? Holy smokes.
cool now to charge a cover charge in there after midnight. Daggum, it's like a casting call for Ripley's Believe It or Not in that place.
All right, those two Wally World stories I could not verify, but just throwing that information out there. Personally, I think what the second guy is talking about is they're getting things ready for social credit scoring. That's just my opinion. But I have noticed recently at three different retail stores, there have not been prices on the items like there used to be. And on the shelf tags, there's nothing. They're empty. So could be prices are just going up so quickly that the store staff doesn't have time to change over the tags. And so rather than put up an inaccurate tab, because you know, people like me are going to say, well, wait a minute, the sign on the shelf, here it is, says $1.59 for this can, and you're charging me $2 at the register, so you have to honor the price that's printed up there on the shelf, or they're getting ready for the social credit scoring, where everybody has to put an app on their phone for the store they want to shop at, so they can monkey with us that way and prevent us from buying things. Could be a combination of the two. New segment tonight, Guess Their IQ. Subtitled is Bless Their Hearts. I got a triple shot here from Miss Mischief 09, Corey M., and Dr. Bradley Campbell.
I had to cancel my vacation with my family because where we were going to go and vacation at, they have already stopped certain things of being able to be purchased with EBT. Well, because of this, that would mean I would have to buy the majority of my family's food out of pocket. And that would dig into my money I have for fun things. So I had no other choice but to cancel the trip. My family is so sad about this, and so am I. I don't understand why people want to control what other people buy with their EBT. Like, how is it your business what I buy with my EBT?
You have time to work with seven kids.
I don't work. My kids are on disability. They have ADD.
What's that, all different daddies?
You know what I want to do? When I was your age, my dad shared a beer with me, and I thought it was about the best thing in the world.
Now, isn't that neat? Look, there's a tornado finna sweep down and blow everything to hell. And I'm right here to see it firsthand, and hopefully I don't get to blow into hell either.
Next up, a triple shot about England from Humanity Truth, Jamie Lee 22, and Just News Bloke. Hey, that first one might have some correlation with the Walmart video about the pricing. Listen close.
UK, no ID, no groceries. From September 12th, a shocking new supermarket rule comes into force. Without a government-issued photo ID, you will not be allowed to enter any supermarket in the UK, even for basic essentials like bread or milk. Officials claim it's to stop shoplifting and fraud, but critics say it will destroy daily life for millions. This means teenagers, pensioners without passports, and anyone who's simply forgotten their wallet could be turned away at the door. Supermarkets will have staff at entrances checking IDs, and shoppers say this feels like airport-style security just to buy food. Campaigners warn it's the start of a two-tier shopping system that could permanently change the way Britain shops and eats. And here's the worst part. Fail the ID check once and you could be banned from that store for a month. Many are now asking, is this really about safety, or is it the beginning of a stricter control system, quietly reshaping how ordinary people live, move, shop, budget, and survive in Britain today?
There's loads of weird shit happening in the UK right now. Have you actually seen this job that's just been advertised? Look at this. We have a Directed Energy Weapons International and Communications Advisor. And this job role closes on the 3rd of September. To my knowledge, I didn't think we had energy weapons in the UK. I just thought it were free certain countries. But then that's not it. Look at this as well. This was posted 4 days before. And then the Home Office has just been awarded contracts worth over $1 million to prepare for a mass fatality event, including capacity to store up to 700 bodies. Plus we have the lockdown drills in schools. Like, everything is just getting all a bit too weird, and I don't know what to think of it all. But I would love to know what you guys think about this, because it all just seems a bit too sus. But this one is definitely by far the most bizarre. Why are they expecting to store up to 700 bodies? What do they know that we don't? Like, what mass fatality event are they preparing for? We have all these protests, what are planned in. Like, do they know something that we don't? plus we have these lockdown drills at our schools. Like, what the actual fuck is going on right now?
Breaking news. Hold on a second. What are the UK government actually planning to do? Because what I've just read will leave people asking questions. This is something that you all definitely need to know about. It's saying on the government website, a mass fatality resilience capability lot 2, which has just been awarded as a contract to a supplier. And further down, it says it's for mortuary equipment and supplies, and there's a lot of it as well. I don't think you have to go away and have a long think to work out what they're on about. Listen to this little piece here. In the event of a major incident resulting in a large number of fatalities, which could overwhelm existing body storage capacity, the Home Office would provide contingency support to the requesting local authority. So it seems like the government knows something we don't know about. What actually are they planning for and they actually think is going to happen? Because it just seems strange. Kids are going back to school soon as well. But with most people probably already knowing about this mass fatality resilience capability thing. Because don't forget we had COVID and it's been there to prepare for natural disasters and other things. But surely this can't be them planning for a massive earthquake or a tsunami or something, because we don't get them. Or have we heard of a new virus that's going to spread the whole world and wipe everyone out? And what is the one thing that's going on in our country right now that we've seen on the news constantly? That has a very high probability of causing mass fatalities. And could there possibly be strategically placed terror attacks across our country in all different locations? Could this be a chilling message in what I've just read out? And are these going to be orchestrated terror attacks across our country? What do you guys think? Let me know what you think about this in the comments, guys. And don't forget to follow me for more breaking news.
Mr. Webley, I trust you have a license for that firearm.
I don't know this one.
Just for this one.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. It's Gen X time with Gen X Jono. Just in time for a back-to-school shopping.
If you were a kid back in the 80s and had your own Crayola 64 box with the built-in sharpener, obviously, you were basically rich. You were upper middle class in crayon currency, while the rest of us 8-pack peons were trying to make burnt sienna out of dirt and spit. But that 64-pack, your favorite color in it, told everyone everything they ever needed to know about you. It was a mood ring, a personality test, and a cry for help. All rolled into one. And if your favorite color was that burnt sienna, well, you peaked in the third grade and never looked back. Wore turtlenecks in August then and correct people on grammar now. Cerulean? Am I even pronouncing that right? You had feelings. Deep ones. And probably cried during the never-ending story. To be fair, who didn't? Macaroni and cheese. You were chaotic good. Sticky hands, glitter in your hair, and probably bit someone during recess. Forest green. You wanted to be outdoorsy but had asthma and seasonal allergies. Owned a Swiss Army knife. Never opened it. Black. Dude, you weren't coloring, you were brooding. You were goth before goth was a thing, and had a trapper keeper full of skull doodles. Dandelion. You smiled way too much. Ran recess like a corporate retreat, and now weaponized Google Sheets. Raw umber. Grew up in a house with incense, patchouli, tofu, and a pottery wheel. You now own an Etsy shop and have strong opinions on oat milk. You see? Your favorite crayon wasn't just a color, it was a warning label. And if you melted them just for the fun of it, well, number one, join the club. And number two, you either run a startup or have your own FBI file. Maybe both.
I mean, people ask me like, oh, you know, Florida, you guys are leading this. You just, how you do it? I was like, you know, as governor of Florida, I get this great cheat code. All I gotta do is look to New York, Illinois, California, and then do the opposite.
Final words by Governor DeSantis. But before that, what color are you, cannolis? What is your Crayola color? That's your homework assignment. Figure it out. How many 64-box colors can you associate with Italian foods? That one's for extra credit. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody. Nice try, Gemma. That's my wine. Put it back.